Packers all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend, he is our teammate, he is Jason Wilde. Joins us three times a week on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Sup, dude?
Dudes, what's going on?
Well, before,
chilling like a villain.
Before we get to any sort of, you know, Packers things as they get ready to take on the 49ers, Chewy has a question for you.
Jason, is the saying dumb like a fox? Is that what it is?
It is not, no.
What is it? I think it is dumb like a fox. I'm gonna stick by that.
There are some people that say it is dumb like a fox on the talk and text line. But the best I can do there is a 2024 song by Jennifer Strobel, "Dumb as a Fox." There was a 1964 short movie, "Dumb Like a Fox." I don't see anything like a.
I think it's
an
only
actual phrase.
Jason, I think it's only in the farmer community, which I'm a part of. Me and Lance, so I don't know if you guys are qualified to comment on this, but I think it lies within the farmer community. So, I mean, I don't fault you for it, but...
And it's not our fault. It's not our fault that we're dumb like foxes.
Yeah, I always thought it was sly like a fox or crazy like a fox. I've never heard dumb like a fox, but again, who am I to push back on... One of the greatest minds of our time, at least before he had all the concussions, Mark Chmura.
He's a deeper thinker than we all are, Jason.
Have you ever smelled the fox den? Have you ever smelled the fox den? It is rancid because they let their meat sit there and tenderize, and you could smell it from a mile away. That's why I think it's in my community, amongst my people.
Yeah, that's great. I got enough problems. I've got this possum that comes to our deck now every day looking for the feral cat food, and I had a dog chase the possum underneath our deck yesterday, and possums could not be more timid. Timid like a possum should be another phrase in the farmer community.
Jason, I've got another question for you.
Oh, boy.
Is it possum or is it opossum?
Ah, those are two different animals.
They are?
One is the one with the O. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of research. I'm going back to get my degree in zoology. This is the O. But I don't know. Does anybody actually call them opossums? Or do they just make it a silent O?
I think people in the biz issues. Do. I don't think anyone else
people
does.
People in the biz.
What
people
biz?
That are calling foxes dumb.
Yes. Exactly. Jason, Edrin Cooper injured in practice. What's his status?
I don't think he's going to play based on how Matt LaFleur reacted and the fact that when we have hamstring injuries up here in Green Bay, they are not things that guys play through, as you and I have talked about before. So, it happened in practice. I knew it the minute he was added to the injury report. On Wednesday is limited out of nowhere because he was practicing at the start of practice. So I had a feeling that it happened during practice. Matt LaFleur confirmed that yesterday, and so there is concern about his availability. I asked if he was going to be week to week, and LaFleur said, well, it's a little too early to say that. I said, well, you got another game like in 4 days after you play this one. And he said, yeah, I know. So that was our exchange. So I think he's not playing Sunday, and I think it's going to make it really hard for him to be ready for Thanksgiving against the Dolphins, which I know Edgerrin Cooper is just a rookie who has played limited snaps or is not a full-time starter. But, you know, he's been one of their more reliable players. He makes mistakes, but he also has made plays, which a lot of other guys have not. So not having him is going to be a setback.
Jair said he has a PCL tear So I'm assuming that means he's not playing in the game on Sunday.
Well, he also said when asked if he was going to be able to come back this year and be himself again, he said absolutely he would be. I just need more than 21 days of no contact, because that's what he had between the Jacksonville game and playing 10 snaps and aggravating his knee against the Bears. So my question now becomes, if he thinks he can't play for at least 3 weeks plus, because 3 weeks was not enough, are you going to IR him and hope you can get him back for, like, the Vikings and the Bears to close out the regular season? Like, and again, I don't know. Like, here's the issue that I have with what he said. And he didn't say it to me. He said it to Matt Schneidman. But here's the issue that I have with what he said. Like, did the medical staff not know that this was the injury? What made the medical staff think that this was, and I use this term carefully, mild enough that he could play through it? And now he's saying, you know, I had 3 weeks where I didn't have any contact. I didn't have any real stress on the knee. And now I can't play for at least for a minimum of 3 more weeks to get this healthy. So, again, I don't have as many answers on this as I would like. But the bottom line is, yeah, he ain't playing on Sunday, and I don't know when we'll see him again.
Well, I tore my PCL, Jason, in the Denver Super Bowl year. Yeah, first game of the year against the Bears, and I came back 2 weeks later. I wasn't even close to healthy. I was probably 80%, and that thing lingered probably for another 8 weeks. But you just, you know, that was the day it tore it all, Jason. And
right.
I had a brace. I had to wear a brace for 4 weeks. It's just, and this is a guy that doesn't play until he's 100%. So, I mean, with him, there's probably a pretty good chance that he may not come back. I don't know.
Well, I literally yesterday when we found out it was this PCL, my first thought was, God, I feel like, and again, my brain doesn't always remember everything either, but I thought that, because it's an unusual injury, right? Mm-hmm. So over all the time I've covered the team, I wouldn't have written about it very often, but I was like, God, I swear Chewy had one of these. And yeah. I couldn't remember, you know, and obviously the archives for 1997 are a little bit challenging to track down. But because we were still learning how to use the internet. But I was super curious because it's so unusual, I didn't know, like, what exactly is the timeline for a guy with this injury? And no offense to you as a tight end, but a corner, that seems to me like it's even more problematic to try and play through. So maybe this narrative changes a little bit for Jair, because I know that some natives, Packers fans, have been very restless about his availability and lack thereof.
Jason, one more injury. What's your gut on Purdy? You think he's going to play or not going to play?
Well, I find it curious that he usually speaks on Thursdays to the 49ers media, and they pushed his media availability back.
Mm-hmm.
Which I would say is an indicator that there's a distinct chance that he doesn't play. Because otherwise, why would you do that? There's no reason to, right? I mean, he can answer questions about how his shoulder feels, but again, it's his throwing shoulder. And if he's not able to throw the football with the velocity he needs, I don't think, as much as you'd like a guy to be able to play through, I don't think you want a guy who's going to be lollipopping balls to Xavier McKinney all afternoon.
Jason, before we let you go, where do you stand on snow globe games? I don't know if you had the game on between the Browns and Steelers in the background as you were writing or doing, you know,
I did
the different stories last night. Where do you land on snow globe games? You in or you out?
Well, I'm in, and I did enjoy it, and I watched it way more intently. Like, I was not very productive because I was watching it. And I would say this, though, this innovation of like the first down line now extended to superimposing the yard lines onto the field, I think is really helpful. But at the same time, it felt like it like kind of garbled up the video.
Okay.
I was watching on one of my older televisions that we have in the spare bedroom where my desk is, and like sometimes guys' legs would disappear. It looked like,
yeah,
it was a little bit hard to follow. Otherwise, it was good. Yeah, it was real. I do enjoy them. I've covered only a couple of them. The one obviously where the game against Seattle in like 2007. Maybe?
Yeah, 2007 playoffs. Yeah.
And then I was just a kid when Lynn Dickey and Paul Kaufman were playing in the snow against, I think, Tampa Bay at Lambeau. So they don't happen very often. So, yeah, I enjoyed that a lot last night, actually. It prevented me from getting all my work done.
Yeah, I think it's a really cool visual. Maybe need to work on the because knowing where the ball is on the yard lines is important as a viewer. I'm with you, though.
No doubt.
There was a kickoff return where they get near the sideline and just kind of all the picture kind of gets weird.
You know why the players love them? Not because it's in the snow and you're playing in the snow. It's because you have a built-in excuse. You know, well, you took the wrong step. Well, there's snow on the field. It was, that's why players love it.
How am I supposed to know what 8 yards is, coach? I can't see any of the yard lines.
Exactly. Right. Yep.
Did you play in many games that were snow games?
No, just one against Tennessee, I think it was Ray Rhodes year or the year? No, I think it's the San Francisco year, the TO year. But that was it. But, Jason, obviously you were around for the San Francisco game in the playoffs, which was just brutal slop.
Oh, mud and muck.
Oh, yeah.
It was gross. Mud. So that was probably the dirtiest game I played in. But it was funny. I remember playing in San Francisco for the NFC Championship game, and it was pouring rain. And Candlestick was built on a dump or like a septic system, and Aaron Taylor went sliding in the mud and regretted it because it smelled like poop the rest of the game. Crazy. Yeah.
All right, with that, Jason, appreciate your time, buddy.
It's like a Matt LaFleur press conference around here. All right, guys, take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde.
No, that's that's a true story.
I've heard you talk. I haven't heard the specific Aaron Taylor part, but you've talked about how Candlestick was built on something poop-related, yes. Whether it was the septic system, whether it was a dump, that remains to be. I mean, we haven't done the research, but why would we? We've got Chewy. You don't need to do the research on that. It doesn't matter what age you are. Low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. That's where Mentality comes in. Local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. So what does that mean? For me, it means I have the energy that I did years ago. Because when I started Mentality, before I did, I was kind of getting older, starting to do the morning show, getting more tired throughout the course of the day. Just figured, okay, it's part of getting older, waking up earlier. But it doesn't have to be that way. Mentality can get your testosterone levels to where they need to be. You can compete at work and sports like you did years ago. That's what they've done for me. And they can do the same for you. And it's not one size fits all. You go through the process, you get a blood panel done, they find out what your testosterone levels are, and then you get a customized testosterone treatment plan made just for you. So go to lowtusa.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mentality and their low testosterone treatments. lowtusa.com.